Okay, we're in the middle of Vayavarech David. It's been a while. I'd like to go to page Kuf Pei V'Tiknu Laimar to move on to the second portion of Vayavarech David. Again, something which the Siddurim we grew up with did not split Vayavarech David. It was one long paragraph. The Art Scroll Siddur has it as two Vayavarech David, the first portion. Which is from Divrei Hayamim, and the second portion, which is from the Nechemya. It's interesting, and the Nechemya made it into the Siddur a few times. It's from the last of the Ksuvim, and not so common for it to make it in, but Atu Hashem Levadecha does make it in, and that's what we're going to start with, V'tiknu Laimer Achshav. What's the flow? Just looking at Pshat, Vayivarach David, again, this was after the coronation of Shlomo HaMelech and the collection of money for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So it says, Vayivar David es Hashem. He said, this is the first part. Baruch at Hashem, we said, L'cha Hashem HaGdula HaGvur at first. And he said, Vayahayid, he prays HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all the midas which HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself. L'cha Hashem HaMam L'cha V'amisnasei L'cha L'raish. Right, the part was skipping. He said, HaMam L'cha. We mentioned there are two types of melech. There's a melech who's king at the desire of the people. At the behest of the people. So that's hamam locha. Vahamis nasei is more a dictator. There's a Kadosh Baruch Hu at some time is hamam locha, and so is masasei lochei l'raish.
How come you say this person won't take out the Sefer Torah?
You mean that we say L'cha Hashem HaGdula? I'll tell you, we have to get there in the book, but he doesn't get that far. But, we understand L'cha Hashem HaGdula, HaGvura, Atferes, Nesa, V'Yahayid, are the Midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's a fundamental, blessing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I guess. The question is what it has to do with, Psicha, that's a good question. It has to do specifically with Psicha. And to the degree it has to do with the Beis HaMikdash, so I guess maybe opening the Aron is related. Okay, and anyway, V'tiknu lo'i ma'akshav ha'tfila ha'kosav b'nechemya. Shamu shmoyna levi'im mi'anshei k'neses ha'gadayla b'yem chavtala tishrei. There was a gathering of Klal Yisrael, and the 24th day of Tishrei his'anu was a fast day. V'shova b'nei Yisrael ha'alaveri shabiyadam. Well, you're allowed to fast in Tishrei. It is mutter to fast in Tishrei. You don't fast in the days of the Yom Tov, which end before Chavtalin. But the story of Nechemya is a story of many people think, since Nechemya is called the builder of Eretz Yisrael, he's known as the builder, people think that Nechemya was there at the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, which is not entirely accurate. That was Ezra. Okay, Ezra and Nechemya. But they go, Ezra and Nechemya, two books, one after the other. Ezra, but it's interesting, neither Ezra nor Nechemya was there when they first came up. Ezra came up subsequently, not many years later. Ezra was a sort of a second wave of Aliyah, of people that he brought up to Eretz Yisrael. Not as big as the first, but a few thousand people. And Nechemya came much later. After Nechemya came, I believe it was about 24 years after the building of the Bayis Sheni. The book of Nechemya begins with Nechemya as the butler of the king. Of the king, Daryavesh. And he hears about the fact that the Jewish settlement in Eretz Yisrael, which had begun with such fanfare, and they're building the Beis HaMikdash and reselling Yerushalayim, had fallen into both despondency, the people were unhappy, and disrepair. Chaimah, the pasuk describes that the walls around the city had been, which protected them, had been breached in many places, and the enemies of Klal Yisrael attacked them at night, And he was very, very, and Nehemiah himself was very despondent. And it begins where the king sees it on Nehemiah's face, and the king says, what's going on, Nehemiah? What's wrong? And Nehemiah says, what should I do? The ear kivroi savoisai. It's interesting that to the king, he describes it as the city where my former generations are buried, is Chameser Nefutzai Speish. Its walls have been destroyed by fire, and the people are unhappy.
Who caused the fire and all that?
This was all. They were not tzedakim. No, they were not tzedakim at this point yet. These were the enemies of Klal Yisrael, who are mentioned by name in the book of Nehemiah. One of the fascinating things is that most of the enemies of Klal Yisrael are not Jewish. There is somebody named Tovia, which is a popular Jewish name today. And Tovia in Tanakh is the name of a turncoat. What? It was one of Moshe Rabbeinu's names, possibly according to the Medrash. But Tovia was somebody who turned on Klal Yisrael and joined the forces of the enemies. I always felt that a lot of the names that are mispronounced today by Klal Yisrael are mispronounced because the original person wasn't such a great person. Like Tovia, we say Tovia today. We don't say Tovia. In Tanakh, his name is Tovia. And we call somebody else that name. We call Tovia. It's spelled the same way. But I don't know if it's accurate, but it could be that's why. It's interesting because I have a grandson who they call Tovia. He's named after someone from the other side who they call Tovia. So, all right, Tovia is a good name. Moshe Rabbeinu is his name. But that's right. Hasidim don't call Shaul. They call it Shaul, which is a funny pronunciation. So, Sefer Netshuva writes this, that because Shaul, the first Shaul is from the Bnei Esav. The first Shaul mentioned in Tach was from the Bnei Esav. And somebody wrote to the Chassam Sefer, so why was Shaul HaMelech called Shaul? So he writes, and only Chassam Sefer could do this, he says, Re'ei Ma'ol Soloi. Yeah, look what happened to him. They call him Shaul, look what happened to him. You're like, okay. But, I don't know exactly how important, but,
Sidi Cheval's
very important, yeah. At any rate, let's get back here. So Nehemiah gets permission from the king. Yeah. Okay. So Nehemiah gets permission from the king to go up to Eretz Yisrael. Now it's not an open-ended permission to go, and the king funds his going up. And when Nehemiah comes, the pasuk describes how the enemies made fun of him. The pasuk sounds like they're saying, you know, a bunch of yeshiva boys, they're going to build a wall. And Nehemiah is a tremendous planner. What Nehemiah does is he divides the families willing to work with him. In the beginning, nobody wanted to work with him. So he takes the wall, and he gives each person, each group, a portion of the wall to build. Now, I wouldn't build a wall this way, but it requires tremendous planning.
How would you do it?
I don't know. You can't have a bunch of people working on different sections. You give one family this section, one that section. Imagine what it's going to look like. But the Chemi was very determined.
It worked.
It says, the Pusik is fascinating. It describes the names. It's a parak of names.
It mentions all of them. It mentions all the people who built the wall.
You have to remember one knage. It mentions people and which part of the wall they built. It says, this family built this piece and that piece and the other piece. We don't know exactly what the markers are. And the Pusik says, and half the wall was built. And then the people finish the second half. The second half doesn't say any names. So Rav Palm used to say about this perek in Nehemiah that when you want to get something started, people are very reluctant. Nobody likes failure. You start a project that has long odds to succeed, so it's very hard to get people to join. But once you're Metzliach, and then everyone wants to join on board, you know, the bandwagon is the bandwagon. So he said, how long? I don't remember the period of time, but it was certainly less than a year. So the pasuk describes name by name. It's like you read the perek. People don't mind. You can finish the perek quickly. It's a list of names, and it says they finished half the wall, and then it says it was the ruach ha'am ulasais, the people had a spirit to do it, and they finished it. And it's, the pasuk describes how they had half the people building and half the people armed guards, guarding him. And it says they worked from sunrise to sunset. And it says, to say sechav. Anyway, that's the background. Let's learn what it says. Tiktulay ma'ashavat filah sha'amru shvein alaviyah manchik nesagdaila b'yam chav dalat tishrei shes'anu v'shavim ne'yisrael alaver shabiyadam. That part of Nehemiah did, not just the physical building, but as well the tshuva of the people. She'edem nigram tzar v'yogil l'shvi ha'gayla u'bo'u ha'ayvim v'tzitzu eschem yisur sholayim ba'ish. So the people in the Gaul, the Shavei HaGaila, those who had returned to Yerushalayim from Galus, Ubo Avim, and enemies came, Vitzisu Aschem Yerushalayim Be'esh, and they had they had destroyed parts of the wall, Ad Shabon Nechemia V'amida B'chazor HaMechayna, until Yerushalayim Nechemia came to Yerushalayim and helped them rebuild the wall, V'os, Nisasu L'sana Yisvalosh Yav Hashem, and then they got together to do tshuva to Hashem, because uksav amona, it says in Prezi's declaration, lahamim b'Hashem lof tayach bay. They actually made a physical shtar. They got all the people, the spirits were high, they built a wall, they took a shtar, and they signed their names, ubo, ba'ola ubishvua laleches b'teres alakim, v'lishvar v'lasis, komitzes Hashem adeinedu mishpata v'chukav. And the pasuk describes, this is the way Nehemiah was to say Perek Yud. After the wall is built, people make a contract with God. And the Chasmu Olav Kol Anshei Nesses HaGedayla, and the Anshei Nesses signed it on behalf of the people. V'schayvu Atzma V'kama Mitzvahs, and they promised to re-energize themselves in many mitzvahs. Amar Chazal, Ma Oso Anshei Nesses HaGedayla, Chasmu Sefer, V'chotchu Ba'azara. And they spread it out in the Azara. Ubishachris Amdu. How do you get God to sign? He's the other party to the deal. It says they got up in the morning, Matzol Chosum, and they found miraculously another signature. Hadu Diksiv. Ubechol Zaisadach, the Kursim Amona, Vikaisvin. We all write this Amona, this declaration of faith. And we wrote Va'al HaChosum, and on something that was signed, Alois Isman Omru, Chosra Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu Emes. So as they found the word Emes, which is God's signature, so to speak, Va'imim, Chelik Mitfilazu Lahavir Hisyachsus Shem Hashem Yuchedes Lagami Mino Anushi. So now you know why we say it. Why do we stick it in? To show HaKadosh Baruch Hu's connection, to human beings. Shaloi Rak Shekol Abriya Kula. Makira b'shem tefartecha. Not only v'avarach David, which is that the whole creation recognizes God, elashem v'negel yashvei seivel, in connection to humans, nikra kadosh baruch b'shem Hashem l'kei Yisrael, umasha soif soif yakiru kol hagoyim v'metzius Hashem v'mitusa y'gdulasai t'yoisi akara y'dei amai ha'nifchar. And this, that the nations who recognize God will be through Klal Yisrael. Now, why does he mention the nations recognizing God? So after Ed Knech, it says that that when David built the Beis HaMikdash, when David coronated Shlomo and gathered money for the building of the Bayis HaRishon, the first Beis HaMikdash, his hope was that Shlomo HaMelech would, in effect, usher in a period of Yumais HaMashiach, a period of sort of a permanent improvement for Klal Yisrael, the period of Yumais HaMashiach. The Zayar calls David HaMelech's reign the generation of Tiara Bashlamusa, the whole moon. The Zayar makes a cheshbon of 14 generations. The moon is complete at 14, and then the 15th day, the moon is complete, and that was going to represent Klal Yisrael. So we understand that every month the moon is Nimshal to Klal Yisrael. Every month the moon begins, and it grows until the middle of the month. And unfortunately, we're not Zaycha to a Gula, and it so it wanes. It starts to become smaller. And that month when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring Mashiach, the moon will be complete on the 15th day and it will not get smaller again. The moon will be a what? Karachama. It'll shine like the light of the sun, and the moon will be complete. And, yeah.
So this story of Yavesh and Achenia probably took place maybe a couple of decades after the Purim story. Huh? So the question is, what happened between the Kibul Masha Kibul on Purim and here that they fell so far that they had to sign an Ishtar? And
unfortunately, in the eye of history, 30 or 40 years is a short period of time. But what happened? You know, after the 67 war, there was a tremendous tshuva movement. What happened? That's the way it is. That's the way inspiration is not permanent. You know, people say, Mi Allah Bahar Hashem, Umi Yokum Bim Kaim Kachay. To go up, to be Allah is easy, but Yokum, to stick with it, not very easy. That's what happened. Even in Eretz Yisrael, you have to remember that Ezra had come, forget about Achashverosh's time, Ezra's time, Ezra got them to be Chayza B'tshuva. When Ezra came, he found they were intermarrying. They, a couple hundred, 113 families had intermarried. And, he got them to be Chayza B'tshuva, and here it was 20 years. What?
Yeah. When they started, he says, well, all the Yiddish and Nagels all became dark. Dark from the sun. That's what he said.
Really? And he says, they wanted fair-skinned.
They wanted fair-skinned people.
I guess he was quoting someone because that's something you said in your own. Okay. Okay. I don't know. You remember the funniest things? Okay, but remember in Ezra, when we learned Ezra, Ezra comes and finds that they intermarried and he weeps and he sits on the floor. He doesn't say a single word of Musar. And they come and they say they'll do tshuva. And he gathers everybody. And it's a rainy day, the Pasuk says. They stand in the rain. He says, whoever doesn't come, Yechram kol rechushai. Well, all his property will become Hefka. We learn Hefka, Bez, and Hefka from there. And they all come, and they make a fast, and they weep, and they carry on and everything. And, you know, you think that they're all intermarrying. And then, in the last parak of Ezra, it says, and everybody up and got rid of their foreign wives, and these are the people who did it. And you start counting, and we counted, we had 113 people that intermarried. Now you're talking about a group that had come up decades earlier, 45,000, and then another 7,000. So it was easily 60, 70,000 people, and 113 had intermarried, you know, like,
sure,
you know, it's
war.
Not,
I'm
but,
not sure there wasn't
more. No, there wasn't more in the Pasuk.
No,
it says they all got up, it says Amdu Kulam, and it says 113 people, it's 113 people. But 113 was a lot, you know, today, it's
and who did the come with?
There was a mixture. There was a mixture. All of them, none of them were there the first 52 years. It says, Nun Beishana Shalayash Shamish. There were 52 years that no one was there. Anyway, the, what?
I mean, just here it implies that they were there when they signed this.
Yeah, they were there when the Chemia was there, yes. Yeah, it mentions some of them by name in the beginning of Ezra. It mentions that Mordechai came. Mordechai was one who had come up. And Shlomo HaMelech's tefillah in the beginning of Bayis Sheni was the hope that it would be a Mais HaMashiach. And that's why when he builds the Bayis Sheni, he declares that this building is a building for the nations of the world, not just the Klal Yisrael. The Beis HaMikdash is for the Amei Haaretz also, that they should come together, they should come here. And he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his tefillah that even when a guy comes and davens here, he should answer his tefillah. And based tefillah yikarei l'chalo amim, that should base tefillah for everybody. His hope was that it would be a Maisa Mashiach, and it was one of the unrecognized opportunities. It was an opportunity that was not recognized. It's not simple to come to a Maisa Mashiach. It requires extraordinary effort and success. And that's not what happened. So anyway, that's why he mentions the Umasailam as well. And, okay, so that's his introduction to the second half of Vayivarach David. So next Tuesday, Mitzvah, we'll finish as much as we finish and we'll move on afterwards to Az Yashu. So next Tuesday, Bezos Hashem.